Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Robin Reedy, former chief of staff to Governor Gibbons, talking about mental illness. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mylon Hawkins, Dan Mason, and Connie McMullen. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
40 years ago, Hotel California and the theme from Rocky were number one on the pop charts, and D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal started on the road to becoming Nevada's leading roofing company.
I couldn't be more proud of what we've achieved.
And over these 40 years, we've become an employee-owned company. So when you're talking to any employee, you're talking to an owner.
And here's to the next 40 years.
Happy 40th birthday, D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Robin Reedy. She was chief of staff to Governor Gibbons and is currently the executive director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness for the state of Nevada. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thank you for having me.
You know, everybody talks about mental illness, but it seems to me it's always so difficult to define, and to define is the only way that you're going to be able to solve the problems associated with it. So what's your elevator speech in terms of defining mental illness and what categories we should be looking at?
Well, you know, mental illness, I look at it all as we're all on a continuum, actually, you know, and at any given time, we could be anywhere on that scale. But when the behaviors start interfering with your life and the lives of others, you know, you have to be aware of that and work that out.
How is the opioid crisis playing into this?
Well, we look at it not just as the opioid crisis, but dual diagnosis, because in most cases, there's something there that makes them want to seek prescription medicine or illegal drugs as a way of self-medicating.
And so this is something that occurs as somebody is growing up? Is it something that people are born with? How do you look at that? Or is it just too hard to be able to define that?
Yeah, nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have been able to narrow down certain diagnoses to more of nurture. Typically, a borderline personality disorder can start with an aggravated childhood, not always. Addictive personalities can begin that way, but it can also be part of nature. Depressive people, they literally have physical barriers to getting that serotonin where it needs to go to become the average person and the average personality.
Is gene therapy even beginning to take a look at this and start to come up with any solutions?
I've actually not heard of anything with regard to gene therapy. Yeah. I mean, they're just now beginning to identify certain things as nature.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, when they decoded the human genome, that was an amazing project. And, you know, one would have thought at the time there was so much excitement about it that we would be seeing cures for all kinds of things that would happen immediately. But that just isn't the way that medicine works.
It's not. But also, when stigma is the biggest part of this problem, not being able to talk about it with your family, friends, or in the workplace, not being able to be ashamed that you have this illness. And if we can overcome that first, people are going to be more willing to look at, you know, scientific cures.
And how does this manifest itself, the shame?
I think it's cultural, you know, in our society. I think, and I also think it's almost natural that people grow up learning about the brain and thinking that the brain, you have control of what you think. You have control of what you do through the brain. And it's the control center. So it's really hard for us to accept that there might be something we don't have control of. We've learned that we don't have control of our height. We've learned that we don't have, but we haven't learned that the brain is just like anything else. So if someone has diabetes, there's no real shame to it. But if someone is depressed, you know, we say again and again, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, do this or do that, smile and you'll just learn. And the fact is that it's not the same for everyone. And so I think just the mere fact that it's the brain, we somehow think someone will have control over it. And we're taught that from very early on.
Forms of depression are natural for everybody. They're part of the circle of life, really.
Right. And that we're back to the continuum, you know, that you can have a situational time where you're depressed and for quite legitimate reasons. But an ongoing depression that doesn't get relief when you're with family or friends and different opportunities to enjoy life, that's very telling for someone. And that leads to suicidal ideation and attempted suicides and successful suicides.
And this goes throughout the entire spectrum of the population. I mean, from the very brightest to the very average in our society. People, one of the reasons why they formed the Davidson Institute for the gifted students is because these kids were committing suicide and having suicidal tendencies because they were stuck in classrooms where they were so far ahead of the classes that they couldn't function in that stream.
Well, the one thing about a mental health condition is it doesn't look at your checkbook, it doesn't look at your IQ, it doesn't look at the color of your skin.
Let's talk about early intervention. How early can one intervene? How early are the signs there?
You know, I'm not a scientist, so I wouldn't be able to talk about, you know, a particular age. But it is behaviors. And right now, psychiatrists and psychologists are really hesitant to actually diagnose a child or someone under 18 with a certain problem because they're afraid that it's going to actually tarnish them through life. But if you recognize behaviors in school and try to work with those individuals, their lives are dramatically different. I work with a lot of people who are affected by mental health conditions right now, and you can pretty much tell the ones that were caught early, and they're very, very functional. And you probably have met and deal with people like that all the time. Nice. And it's not a problem at all. You know, but then others, just the built-up stigma to it and shame, that by itself ends up setting them back in their personal relationships.
So is that a self-affliction or is that an affliction that society puts on people?
I think it's probably both. I mean, you just like in other behaviors, you can teach dumbness. If you put them down enough and put them down enough, they don't think they're very smart. It's the same thing. If you have a behavior that society condemns, you start isolating yourself. And that isolation by itself can create more problems with the mental health condition.
All right, let's take a break. More with Robin Reedy when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. We can save you money and add comfort and value to your home. To find out how, check out our new website. If you visit the site before June, you could win $1,000 cash in a random drawing. Just enter your name, Nevada zip code, and email, and you could be the lucky winner. Go to homeenergyexperts.com. That's homeenergyexperts.com. Must be 18 or older. The drawing will be held June 1st.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Robin Reedy. She's the Executive Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness for the state of Nevada. You say Nevada at this point is 51st in dealing with this. Explain, and how do we move up?
On a per capita basis of spending money on mental health conditions, we are 51. We're actually behind Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. But we've also not had money, and I've been there too. I mean, I understand government finances. But in the long term, if we recognize that there are certain things we can do that saves money in separate silos. So if we do CIT training with the police, crisis intervention training, so that they learn about mental health problems and other problems as well on how people interact with the police, that will have a safer interaction on both the police side as well as the patient side, I guess, so that they don't end up arresting more people, they don't end up spending more money in the jail. And while that saves money in the jail, it doesn't necessarily save money in the state legislature. So recognizing that sometimes when you're doing these programs, it may cost more in one spot to save money in another spot, but to help society as a whole and the state of Nevada as a whole.
Okay, so has the expansion of Medicaid helped at all in this area?
It actually has. It's helped people who don't necessarily or wouldn't have necessarily had health insurance to be able to go out and find psychiatrists and psychologists if we actually had enough psychiatrists and psychologists in the state.
Well, and that's the point. I mean, this has been an ongoing topic. I got into television in 1980. And I think one of the first stories I did was the lack of mental health professionals and facilities in the state of Nevada. And it seems like it's still the same story today.
It is still the same story today. So a lot of the boards that approve licenses and have the ability to approve someone from another state to come here, telehealth would be great to expand on that. So there's a lot of solutions there if we can get through the bureaucracy and get things done.
All right, for example. Solutions.
For example, if we would approve another state's licensure in terms of social workers, nurses, and doctors, we would be able to have more people here. A psychologist isn't going to go to Carlin and open up a shingle out there and work with people because there's just not going to be enough there to be able to support a business. So we have to look at more innovative ways of telehealth from another state, telehealth within our state, and then moving nurses and doctors where they can be.
Okay, so are you optimistic with all the fiber that's being laid? You've got Switch with their loop, that goes from Las Vegas to Reno and actually back to San Francisco, LA, and back to Las Vegas. And companies like Valley Electric are extending that out into telemedicine and into schools. So are you optimistic that we're going to see more telemedicine because of this?
I am optimistic on that, but I will also say that telemedicine isn't the fix for everything, even though I advocate for it, because some people with mental health conditions aren't going to feel comfortable with that. There's paranoia involved, things like that. So it's not, you know, the perfect solution to a doctor sitting there talking to someone and prescribing.
Let's talk about housing and how you you have some ideas of how to pay for housing for the mentally ill.
Yeah, well, the Housing First initiative most people are familiar with, and it's true.
I would say most people are not familiar with it.
Okay, well, they may not agree with it, but I think they do know that if you have stable housing, that's the first step to stability. And there is the potential for recovery when someone has a mental health condition. And that's something I didn't necessarily believe until about 6 years ago. You know, my mother had been mentally ill. I had lived with that, and I pretty much thought that if someone had a mental health condition, done, they can't do anything else. And now I've learned to recognize that there is recovery possible for the vast majority of people suffering with a mental health condition. But if you get housing, as far as stable housing where they're safe, my mother was never stable until back in Ohio, the county bought a hotel, made the hotel into a bunch of studio rooms, and they put developmentally disabled and mental health patients there. They were free to come and go, but that was the only time she was stable, because she had stable housing, right, which led to stable medications and treatment, which led to a happier life and less problems for everyone else.
Okay, so we've got about a minute left here. You're talking about a couple of different plans, including water and sewer projects that would allow bonding for housing that those that need it.
So the plan, my idea is, you know, I spent a lot of time in the treasurer's office. We have bonded for sewer and water projects throughout this state. Why don't we do a similar plan, partnering with nonprofits and local government entities to buy up some of these buildings, especially since we're in an internet economy right now, buy up some of these empty buildings, transfer them into studios and housing arrangements, and use the state bonding with probably a federal partnership, as we did with water and sewer. If water and sewer is good for everyone and it's worth bonding, isn't getting these people in safe housing and having a safer community worth that same bonding process?
It sounds like a good plan to me. Good luck with this.
Okay.
Always good to have you here.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mylon Hawkins is here. She's the Vice President of Interface Computer Associates. Dan Mason is, in addition to being Program Director of Newstalk 780 KKOH, he is also part of Mitchell and Mason in the Morning, a fabulous morning show.
I don't have enough to do.
And then also we have here Connie McMullen. She's the publisher of Senior Spectrum Magazine. So last week, Mylon, you put out a press release on behalf of CD2 Democratic candidate Clint Coble, saying, when is the nation going to wake up and act to protect our most cherished citizens, our children? Dozens dead and wounded, at least eight in this recent shooting in Texas. Peace officers and students wounded. Another horrific day, and yet Congress has failed to act. Do you see anything happening from this shooting that's going to be different from all the other shootings that we've seen?
I really don't. I think it's going to take a complete shift in the way we think about our Second Amendment. And being a gun owner myself, I am a strong believer in the right to bear arms. But I do not see a well-regulated militia.
Dan, your thoughts?
Nothing has changed. We're having the same conversation we've had for the last however many shootings there are.
Isn't that a terrible thing to say?
Yes, it's an awful thing to say.
However many shootings there have been. We can't count them.
The vast majority of the people saying we've got to do something don't follow it up with exactly what that should be. And that's why we're not progressing anywhere. Mm-hmm. No one has the right answer of what to do.
Connie?
Well, you know, I agree with what everyone said, but, you know, a lot of it, I think, has to do with our children. And a lot of, in this recent shooting, a lot of people did know, a lot of kids at school did know that there was something wrong with this child and didn't say anything. And that's the problem, I think, with America. We're not saying anything because we're always afraid that we're going to step mm-hmm. on somebody's toes or be politically incorrect. But mental illness is a very big problem, whether it's depression or something more extreme. And the gene pool is only getting bigger. And with the drug problems we have in this country, it's only exacerbating everything. It's about time we really start at home.
Mm-hmm. When you look at the fact that we have, you know, 320 million people in this country and 320 million guns in this country, mm-hmm. It's like the horse is already bolted. You're not going to be able to put that genie back in the bottle. So isn't it incumbent upon us to play defense at this point rather than offense, which doesn't seem to have worked at all?
I agree with that, Sam. And one of the things I think that is extremely important is that if you own a gun, you make sure that the bullets and the gun are locked away in separate places. You know, this idea that you have to, if somebody breaks in your house, you don't hear about people, somebody broke into my house, running for their gun. How many times has that happened?
I would.
You would. But what I'm saying is, if you have children in the house, you make sure that they do not have access to those weapons. And we saw that at Sandy Hook. And we saw that in the recent shooting here. And we saw that right here in our community where a child had access to the parents' gun and that was what they took to school. And that was the thing. So in the home, parents must be responsible. And maybe if we had a law that said, if something happens, if your child does this, you also go to prison.
Oh,
that would
attention.
Be the question after what, Parkland, where mm-hmm. the father allowed the young man to get his hands on the guns again, even after multiple reports, and they've been taken away. I want to see the father punished.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. Period.
Connie?
Well, I agree with that. And it does start at home, as I said. It's just like you leave your little kids in a car for them to die. Mm-hmm. I mean, it starts with us. We're all adults. You have children in the house. We go out of our way to baby-proof the house for everything, keep them away from the electrical cords, but a gun is a very serious thing.
Unfortunately, you cannot legislate human behavior. You can try. Doesn't work.
Well, I just don't see how you are able to control a situation when you have so many weapons already on the street, and you know, if you try to lock things down, you come up against the NRA, you come up against people like yourselves who are legitimate gun owners. And I think that in my terms, defense means, you know, going through metal detectors. I was at a place that was super high security the other day. The one thing they didn't have was a metal detector. They had armed guards, but no metal detectors. And I was shocked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you go through metal detectors in an airport. When you enter the federal building, you go through a metal detector. Mm-hmm. You could do that at schools. And the epidemic of this at schools, it seems to be as if it's copycat crime that is happening, because we're hearing more and more of it.
Dan, do you think the media has a role to play in this?
Oh, yeah. Stop plastering the kid's face all over TV, mm-hmm. because some of these young men, women, whoever it may be, the notoriety is part of the mental illness that they want. And the minute it happens, not only are they're gloating about it. This young man was gloating during the shooting the other day, according to reports. That has to stop. Stop putting the picture all over TV, then the notoriety goes away.
And, you know, for suicides, the news media stopped years ago from publicizing the names of people that committed suicide because of that very same reason. So you feel the same way?
I do. And you know what I thought was really striking, unrelated to this, was last night at the American Music Awards or whatever.
Billboard,
yeah. They said, the kid said, please don't take my youth away. And I never thought of it like that, but that is so true. Young people striking out at young people to cut them short in life.
Mm-hmm. And that's very sad. And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye catches its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
On our next broadcast, we're talking politics with Fred Locken and Eric Herzig, professors of political science. We'll see you then.